Don Errol Rodgers in the building on the Mad Hatter Show on Magic 102.9. Pull y'all before.
Let me start before that.
I'll get to start after you hit me off one before we eat.
First off, I'm not in the building, son. I'm in a different building. I got bright lights and cameras over here. You in a garage somewhere, son. I don't know where you at, son.
We on a budget, no doubt about it. Look, I'm going to be honest.
You couldn't get no backdrop like it's people work there. You by yourself. You in the bathroom, son. How you interview me in the bathroom? Pause. No Diddy. No oil alive. All right? I just want to say that.
Donnell starts by saying, bro, didn't I roast you somewhere? That's the way this starts.
Wherever you want. The reason why I start, I say, you just got one of those roastable faces, son. Your face looks very roastable. If it was a roast battle and they had a lineup of people placed to roast, it would be yours, son. And the name, Mad Hatter. And I already told you that hat is trash. You got to do better than that.
Sir, listen, this is the station paraphernalia.
Okay, all right. I will respect that.
Oh, Drell, now you're going to respect
it. No, but no, it don't match. So I turn it back around. You look like an unk and a YN in the same person, son. How you do that, son?
That's the way I am. That's exactly what I am.
If you know what your name gonna be, YN Unk. That's your new name, son.
I love it. YN Unk. Straight from yeah. I like it. Does yeah. Now when it start blowing up, I want you to come back later trying to take credit and nothing like that, though.
Oh, this is all being recorded. I'm gonna let my counsel see it after this. So let's
All right, Donnell Rollins is in the building, or the building he's in. I'm in the bathroom in my building. But we are here doing this thing. He's going to be here for a whole weekend at the Improv doing the show. But before I even get there, I know you grew up. My mother's in the DMV. We okay. Our sister there. When did you, because I'm, with all the interviews I ever heard, I've never heard how you got the transition from military, from DMV to military to movies and comedy and the whole nine. Where'd that start?
Well, for me, I never thought about it. Most people here in this business, like, oh, as a kid, I thought I was going to do this. I never thought I was going to do it. I was in the United States Air Force. I was a military police officer. I was waiting to be a DC police officer. Wow. And in the interim, I had a job at this grocery store called Safeway. And it was a guy who used to come to Safeway. He worked for Hostess Cupcake Company. And he would stack the shelves up with honey buns and all that. And he was a comedian that night. He would give us free tickets to come to the comedy show. So we would go to the comedy show. And then I started out of nowhere. I just started heckling the comedians that performed there. No anticipation to do stand up. I started heckling comedians, and the crowd was going for it. The audience, people started coming to this club just to hear me heckle the comedian. Club owner wasn't too happy about that. So he decided, what most club owners will do to test you, all right, you funny, go on stage. They dared me to go on stage. I caught a standing ovation. 32 years later, I haven't looked back. Any other opportunities, never thought about doing anything else. So, and everything that turned into me doing stand-up, to then being curious about acting. And then I've never been trained as an actor. I used to read monologue books. And everything that happened to me, an opportunity presented itself to me. And I acknowledged it. I took advantage of it. And I just kept pushing it. And like I say, after 30 years, you know, whether you're a fan of mine from Chappelle's Show, Guy Code, The Wire, The Corner, whatever, I've been able to maintain a solid career for the last 30 years. And I've been able to battle that word that the YNs try to hit you with, relevant. You're not relevant. Three decades, I've been relevant, been part of some of the biggest shows in the history of television. And at the end of the day, whether I do another film, television show, the fact that I can go out, put my name on a marquee, I can come to the Houston Improv, and with help from you guys that listen to this, I could sell it out. I'm cool. I don't have to ever be in another film, long as I could do what my true passion is and what my God-given talent is. I'll always enjoy that.
So your whole career is accidental, basically. Just because you was over there singing on people, it's turned out to be this long career.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like you. Like, you, one day you put on a hat and you said, I'm going to be Matt Wall. And then I'm going to be this big radio personality. I didn't do it like that. It took more than a hat for me. And my hat's another male alts. They ain't never been mad handers. They've been happy handers.
A woman gave me my name in this business. Yeah. So I said,
so what type of woman? Was it a woman with a penis or not a penis?
Oh, Lord. Hey, this is Nick. You can be whatever you want. No, this is a This is an incredible woman who gave me my start. And I'll listen to woman for her. I wouldn't be here today. So shout out to
me. Was her name Tony?
Oh, I'm going to give you a chance, man. No.
It was not Tony. It was, yeah, Tony, but it was not Tony.
Teresa. Okay. All right.
You know what I'm saying? No, I'm not offended. I'm a fan. I appreciate everything that you do. So I understand the way the game goes. I'm here to. But I do have a question. How did you transition after the military? Did that transition for you doing everything that you're going now happen afterwards, or was that before?
It was after. I never
touched a mic when I was in the military. They all happened pretty much maybe like a year after I got discharged. That's when things started happening where I realized that this was going to be something I do. Entertainment was going to be my calling. But it wasn't definitely. I've always been the funny guy in the room, whether it's military, whether it's in high school, whether it's on the block. I've always been the guy. And not saying I was the funniest person, but in every neighborhood, every family reunion, everybody knows one story. I give you an example. But you only want to hear it from one person. Everybody got their version. And you'd be like, nah, I ain't like the way you say it. You got to say it. We like the way you do it. That's been me my whole life. And that's pretty much the style of comedy that I have. It's like very personable. You feel like you're in the backyard of a cookout, just having fun with somebody, just kicking it and just embracing love.
Did somebody pull you to the side and say, hey, man, we think you got something special. You need to get a little more serious about this. When did that happen?
I never was not serious about it. It was like the first time I ever did it. I do remember one time it was late night. I was talking to my mother. We were at the dinner table. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, right? And she was just, I had her laughing so hard. She was like, boy, don't tell me another joke unless you're going to make some money doing it. Mm-hmm. So that kind of planted to see like, is there a possibility of me doing to the point where I could create a life for myself? But it was never from the first time I touched the mic, I knew this is what I was going to be doing with my life. It wasn't like, oh, let me chill and see. It was like from that first time up until 30-some years later, every time I go on stage, I go on stage to murder it. I go on stage after 30-plus years, I still have the same energy as the young new comic that's just trying to make a name for himself. Every stage, every time I go to show, I don't take for granted that when I go to shows, there are people that have become fans of mine from away from comedy, from the acting stuff I did, but I never take advantage of it. I never look at it like, don't you know who I am? Or I was funny last time. I take it like every time you come, it's like, this is the first time you see me. And I want you to go back, tell your family, tell your friends that this dude is one of the funniest comics in the game.
Mr. Don, you've done all this before you were at Larry on the Chappelle Show. Does that ever bother you that one character defines so much of a part of, and you've done a whole, if somebody goes look at your background, TV, movie, your name is on a whole lot of stuff, but you get defined by this one particular time and space that's so small.
Listen, I understand this business. It's so hard for people to remember you from anything. It's for real. Look at mostly 80%, no disrespect, for the comics that I started with Def Jam. They're not in the game anymore. You don't hear their names probably now. I'm not knocking, it just doesn't work out like that. And I'm like this, you know what? I have done more than that. But then I got to look at it like this. I try to look at the positive of everything. I said, I've done so many other shows, so many other movies, right? But this is what connects you with me. I'm not mad at it. What it's telling me is that I bodied that character. What it tells me is that I put my foot in it. I made it. I made it a memorable character. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I phoned it in. I want every time, Dave and them said, action. I never knew I was going to be back, so I had to play it. So if forever, if I'm associated, Donnell Rollins, you remember him as Ashy Larry, all right, whatever. I don't care. But if you do some research, and I have research, if you do know me, I've had a career that's been over 30 years being able to work with some of the biggest shows in the history of television. I can't apologize for being on a show that created history. I heard so many times people, what has he done since then? Y'all want me to go out. I don't go out trying to say I'm going to make something that was just as historical and just as impactful as Chappelle's Show. I cannot redo history. I'm a part of history. So however you connect with me or whatever, you know that this guy started from here, worked his way up, and at the end of the day, I still got places to go. I haven't got to the top of the ladder yet. I don't think I ever get to the top of the ladder because there's always going to be something that I'm going to try to do. There's always going to be something new. It's always going to be something that makes me want to evolve. So I tell people all the time, they say, Donnell, you're doing your thing. And I always tell people, I'm a work in progress, and I'll continue to be that.
With all the cancer culture stuff that goes on these days, are you ever afraid to get on stage and say something that might get some backlash later on? So you're like, nah, I ain't going to do that dope.
If I can go on stage and say that grooming is just in for men and that Cassie groomed an old nigga, then I'm not worried about cancer. I'm worried about cancer culture. If I could say Cassie was down with a lot of that, I'm not worried about cancel culture. Does that end some quick?
No. Yeah. We're gonna move on for you, me and the break. Other than BMF, what else are you getting into, man? I know you said there's some other things that you might want.
What I do is tell people to make sure you're current on your cable bill. You never know what I'm gonna pop up on. I don't focus on TV and film that much. I can't control that. What I do focus on is doing the tours. I'm doing like the Black and Mild tour. Yeah. I would encourage people, if you want to see me live, go to DonnellRollins.com. You can find tickets. But you may see me pop on some other stuff. But if things happen for me filming TV, that's cool. But again, the thing that's most important to me is being able to go out there, fill a club up, fill a theater up, and have a good time. That's it.
Here's my last question, man. How has your son changed your life and your comedy?
Well, I get that question. A lot of people are like, so do you feel like you're more focused? I've always been focused, but I was focused with a cheap lens. You know what I'm saying? You know anything about camera lenses mean a big difference. I had a wide lens, so things was kind of cloudy, not really sure. But once I had my son, shout out to Austin Rollins, I went from that wide lens to a more detailed, fine lens, where now I know everything I need to zoom in. I know what I got to do to try to be a better person, not just for myself, but for me, more importantly, for him. You know, it puts things in perspective, like what's really important, like things that I used to think that were important to me like 10 years ago is not the same thing right now. Like I prioritize my time with my son. I remember when I first started, it was all about the money, money, money. And I'll give you a quick example. I had a show a couple of weeks ago and it was this big media platform that if I came in a day earlier, I could have done that would have secured me just selling out everything. And my people were like, Donnell, can you make it? I was like, you know what? I like making money, but I like making memories more. I'm not going to be able to make it. I already plan to do stuff with my son. Those are the things I have to deal with now, and I embrace them.
I dig it. Donnell Rollins, we will see you. Enjoy yourself in Houston this weekend. All right?
Make sure you're a new hat. I just want to say in closing,
I'm rich, bitch! Donnell Rollins, at the Improv this weekend, 2 shows on Friday, 2 shows on Saturday, 1 show on Sunday. Holla at your boy when you get here, man. Appreciate you, man. Keep doing what you're doing, sir.
Thank you.